What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, we have us a new NBA champion. The Boston Celtics have won their 18th championship. That is an NBA record, and if you are a Lakers fan like myself, that pisses you the fuck off, but hey. They were the best team in the regular season. They blew through every single team they played in the postseason, so they obviously not only earned their way to a championship, but they absolutely deserved it, and congratulations to the Boston Celtics on that. But Game 5 was an absolute just demolition. I mean, they just killed the Dallas Mavericks. It wasn't even close at any point in the game. It was pretty much the Mavericks pretty much packed up and left, it felt like, in the first half. But Boston got the win, 106-88. Jaylen Brown ended up being the MVP. So he was the Eastern Conference Finals MVP, and he ended up being the NBA Finals MVP. And like I said a couple weeks ago, Jaylen Brown has been having the best season of his career, and that is the best way to top it off by not only winning yourself a championship, but also being the MVP. And I mean, he dominated. He averaged 20.8 points per game, 5.4 rebounds per game, and 5 assists per game. So he was pretty much in on every single game that they had. He was a game changer in many of the games that they had leading up to the championship and through it. And then in Game 5, Jason Tatum, he had probably his best game of the NBA Finals, dropped 31 points, 11 assists, and 8 rebounds. So, yeah, it was just straight-up domination by the Boston Celtics. Got to say, though, as a basketball fan, I felt like this was probably one of the worst, most boring NBA Finals I've ever watched in my entire life, just because there wasn't a close game at any point in the Finals. Every game that was won was pretty much just an absolute ass-kicking by one team and one team alone. It felt like the other team didn't show up. So it was a pretty non-competitive NBA Finals, but that doesn't matter. The Boston Celtics are champions, whether you like it or not, and they have championship number 18, and so now we have to hear about that all season. But hey, that's what happens. They were the best team all season long. They had the best record over anybody. They pretty much blew by everybody. And then they also, shut up the doubters, because like I kept saying it all season. I was like, I don't know if I believe in them. Not because I was a hater, but because there were many weaknesses I could see in them. But hey, nobody was able to take advantage of those weaknesses. As a matter of fact, it was the complete opposite. And good on the Boston Celtics for getting their 18th championship. Moving on to baseball. Actually, we might as well talk a little bit more basketball news that happened in, I guess, it could be exciting news, but to me it was just a big whoop-de-doo, but got to talk about it. J.J. Redick is now going to be the Los Angeles Lakers' new head coach. They needed a new head coach because guess what? The NBA draft is literally a couple days away. It's next Thursday is when the NBA draft is, so it's about goddamn time that the Lakers got a coach so we could get him ready to go and see what they're going to draft for next year's team. But, you know, J.J. Redick, he is an ex-NBA player. He's been just doing been one of the announcers during games for ESPN all season. He does a great job at that, but I mean, he's never been a head coach, so I have no idea what we're walking into here. I mean, I guess it could be worse. It could be better, but I guess we'll see what happens with this season coming up. But J.J. Redick is now going to be the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. And now moving on to baseball and the week that was, beginning on Monday, the Philadelphia Phillies had an 18-hit outburst on the San Diego Padres, which was the highest amount of hits they've had in a game this season. They got the win 9-2, and they also got Trey Turner back, which is huge for them because they've already been playing well without him, but now they get, not only did they get his bat, but they get his additional defense as well. And then in this game, Kyle Schwarber had a huge game. He hit a home run and had 4 RBIs. And this is normally when Kyle Schwarber starts to get hot. He's just always known to start getting hot in June and then just keep it moving all the way throughout the season. So now that the Phillies got Trey Turner back, Kyle Schwarber's starting to get hot. This team was already good. I expect them to maintain their dominance throughout the rest of the season. Then also on Monday night, another team that had a huge outburst of hits were the New York Mets, which is extremely shocking. They got a win 14-2. Yeah, they scored 14 runs. and had 22 hits in that game. So that was also a season high for them as well. They had 22 hits in one game. Francisco Lindor had a huge game. He had two RBIs. And then Pete Alonso also had two RBIs. But it kind of felt like every single person who played for the Mets on Monday night ended up not only getting a hit, but also quite a few RBI as well. Then on Tuesday, the Phillies had yet another crazy game. They got the win over the Padres 4-3. It was a little bit closer than Monday night's game, but this one was all about the ninth inning, beginning with Bryce Harper, basically Bryce Harper getting on base. Then Alec Baum got on base right after him, and then Stott got on base. And so there's a bases loaded situation here. And Castellanos, who actually hasn't had that great of a season, but he did end up getting a big hit. Game-winning, I believe it was a double to knock in the game-winning hit. And the Phillies go on to have another win on Tuesday night. Then on Wednesday, the Cleveland Indians got themselves a big win over the Seattle Mariners, 8-0. Tanner Bibee had one of the greatest games of his career where he had 12 strikeouts. And then they also got Stephen Kwan back about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And the guy has been on a 13-hit streak since he came back from the injured list. And in this game alone, he had a home run plus two RBI. And the Seattle Mariners, they're not a joke team either. So that was a big win for the Guardians. But they definitely needed that from their starting pitching, because that's really been their Achilles heel so far has been the starting pitching in their bullpen. Is giving up a little bit for them, but getting Stephen Kwan back, who's really just been on a tear since he got back, that'll definitely help them out on the offensive side of things. But we'll see what happens with their starting pitching the rest of the season. And then yesterday, the Baltimore Orioles were like, well, the Mets got 14 runs on Monday night. How about we score a few more? They ended up with a 17-5 win over the New York Yankees yesterday. And pretty much everybody on their team scored yesterday. And it was probably the worst game of the season for Luis Gil, starting pitcher of the New York Yankees, who's pretty much had just an insane career year, pretty much striking out everybody he gets. He was on a great winning streak there. But the Baltimore Orioles were able to take care of business and knock him out of there by the second inning. And Ryan Mountcastle, he had four RBI. O'Hearn had four RBI. Santander had three RBI. It was pretty much everybody in this Baltimore Orioles lineup was scoring runs yesterday. And then, of course, Aaron Judge on the opposite side of things, he hit another home run and still leads the league in home runs with 26 home runs. And then also yesterday, the San Francisco Giants played a game against the St. Louis Cardinals at Rickwood Field, which is actually the oldest Major League Baseball park in the country, and it's where the Negro League used to play, the Birmingham Black Barnstormers, or shit, I can't even remember what their name was, but basically some of the greatest Negro League players came out of this out of Rickwood Field. They great history there, and it's a very old field. I mean, to watch it was pretty funny because there's not a lot of people in the stands because there's not a lot of room. But it was still a cool environment, and it was the first time that they're doing this, because, you know, the last couple of years they've played at the Field of Dreams. I don't know if they're still doing that this year, but they've played out there. But this one is way more meaningful and more historic because it's actually where it, like I said, Negro League players played, including Willie Mays. It was actually coincidentally supposed to be a celebration of Willie Mays to begin with, but then of course he died earlier in the week, so it became an even bigger celebration of Willie Mays. And I mean, you know, he was a San Francisco Giant, so of course we had the San Francisco Giants there. They did not show up for Willie Mays. They lost 6-5, unfortunately, but it wasn't really about that. It was really just about the cool environment of it all. Unfortunately, they only played one game out there. They're playing the rest of the series in San Francisco this week, which is just weird, but okay. They did play there, and it was just it was a really cool, crazy night. And then as far as the game goes, Brandon Donovan of the St. Louis Cardinals, he pretty much was the reason why the Cardinals got it going, scored so many runs. He actually had three of the RBI that came in last night. But, you know, it was a big deal to be celebrating at Rickwood Field last night for the San Francisco Giants and just for Major League Baseball in general. And then moving on to a little bit more baseball, we have the Men's College World Series Championship is this weekend. And, you know, I don't watch a whole lot of college baseball, but apparently I'm pretty good at prognosticating it because I predicted it was going to be Tennessee versus Texas A&M. And guess what? It's Tennessee versus Texas A&M. It's going to be a very interesting matchup. Both of these teams have really just rolled on through the College World Series. It really hasn't felt like either team's been challenged or tested so far. So they're definitely going to get it in the championship round. And they both should match up very well against each other because A&M has pretty much relied mostly on their solid starting pitching. Also, their bullpen is really good as well. But they play well defensively. But Tennessee is pretty much all around an excellent team. They got the hot bats. They also have an excellent starting pitching lineup. And then they also play great defense. So it's going to be interesting to see if A&M's starting pitching is able to tamp down the Tennessee bats, their lineup. But I don't know about that. I picked Tennessee to win it all. So of course I'm going to ride with Tennessee. But I felt like it was going to be a very interesting matchup just because A&M has such great starting pitching. Tennessee has such a great batting order. So it should be a battle of the ages between those two. And that begins on Saturday and could potentially go through Monday, depending on how the series winds up. And then, of course, as I mentioned, Willie Mays died earlier in the week at the age of 93. He is obviously one of the greatest baseball players to ever play the game. Arguably could be number one on anybody's list. Babe Ruth is number one on my list, but Willie Mays was definitely top three on my list. But with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and, of course, do a top five Willie Mays moments because being one of the greatest baseball players of all time, he actually had way too many moments to choose from. From my perspective with Willie Mays, I feel like he was the first Negro League player to hit the scene. And, of course, he had to deal with all the racist bullshit. But I feel like he was the first player who everybody just looked at as a player and not looked at as he was a black dude. I feel like a lot of people just loved what he brought to the game. Not only just, I mean, he was technically the first five-tool player the game has ever had, meaning he was just excellent at every single facet of the game. He was amazing defensively. That's what he was, of course, known for. But then offensively, he's one of the all-time leading home run scorers ever. And, you know, defensively, offensively, he stole bases. He just did it all. And he was the first one to do it. He was also an entertainer as well. And he knew one of the things he did, just to kind of add a little bit of juice to the game, was that he would wear his hat a size smaller. So when he would run around the bases, his hat would fly off because apparently people thought that was cool to see your hat fly off because you're running around the bases so hard. So, those were just a couple of cool things that he brought to the game other than just, you know, being a behemoth. And, I mean, he really was one of the biggest superstars that the game ever had. And so let's go ahead and kick it off with the top five Willie Mays moments. And, of course, I've talked about Willie Mays a lot because I've ranked greatest of all time, baseball players just in general. But I have discussed him a lot just because I respect his career. I am a San Francisco Giants fan, so, of course, I know about him a little bit more just because you see him at all the Giants games. As a matter of fact, even before they headed out to Rickwood Field last weekend, they announced that Willie Mays was not going to be there. And I actually kind of said to myself, well, that's not a good sign because usually Willie Mays is at everything, Baseball Incorporated, but everything San Francisco Giants Incorporated. And so for him to not be there, I kind of had a feeling he was probably not in the best health, and obviously he was not in the best health since he died a couple days later. But let's go ahead and get into it, the top five Willie Mays moments, beginning with number five, of course, the 1951 season when he made his debut May 24th, 1951. Now, I picked this season because he also won Rookie of the Year. So basically, Willie Mays was great the second he walked into the league. And funny story is that even when he got the call to come up, he didn't think he was ready to do it. And the manager at the time was like, no, dude, you need to get your ass up here. We can tell that you're going to be great at what you're doing. We need your defense. That's what they really needed him for, was defense. But he ended up coming up, and his first few games, He could just not get it going offensively, but then he just caught fire about a month into his career and really never looked back. He ended up batting a 274 on the season with 68 RBI and 20 home runs in 121 games. So, yeah, he basically lit the league on fire and never turned back. Then at number four on my top five Willie Mays moments, he is only one of three players to have over 500 career home runs and over 300 stolen bases. The only other two players that join him on this list are Barry Bonds and Alex Rodriguez. Now, as we all know, those two are part of the steroid era. I don't believe they should be forgotten. I don't believe their numbers should be even have an asterisk next to them. But when you compare them to Willie Mays and the time that Willie Mays or Hank Aaron or Babe Ruth, and when those guys played, there was no such thing as steroids. And it was just all about their extreme talent. So when you take a look at that, if you really want to get technical about it, Willie Mays is probably the only non-juiced guy to make it there. So he's like one of one in this category. And I mean, when you just look at his total career numbers, he owns, as far as records go, he owns the most games played at center field with 2,829 games. He owns the most putouts as an outfielder with 7,095. And then just his career numbers. He batted an average of .301. He had 3,293 hits, 660 career home runs, 1,909 RBI, and 339 stolen bases. And I mean, he just did that basically all the way until the day he retired. So, I mean, just those statistics alone, and baseball is all about statistics. It's not just about championships. To me, championships always matter. But even if you don't have a championship, you can still be considered one of the greatest in baseball just because numbers alone, and those numbers alone, still stand to this day in many ways. And like I said, he's one of three to eclipse 500 home runs and 300 steals. And those other two were in the steroid era. So that just goes to show you how difficult and how great Willie Mays was. At number three on my top five Willie Mays moments, April 30th, 1961 versus the Milwaukee Braves. Now, he nearly sat out this game, but he ended because he actually had food poisoning. But I guess at batting practice right before the game, he just was knocking everything out of the park. And his teammates and his manager were like, sorry, dude, you are on and you are playing today. And it's a good thing because he ended up hitting four home runs in this one game. And by the way, he was the first player to ever do that. And only 18 players since have ever done that. And it took even 15 years after he did it for the first player to do it again. So that's what an amazing achievement this was. So in this game against the Milwaukee Braves, it was in his first at-bat, he hit a solo home run. His second at-bat, he hit a two-run home run. And his third at-bat, he actually flew out, and it was pretty close to a home run, but it was still a flyout. So he could potentially have five home runs in one game. Then at his fourth at-bat, he hit a three-run home run. And then finally, his fifth and final at-bat in this game, he hit a two-run home run. So that's how amazing Willie Mays was, is that he was the first to ever do that, and only 18 players total have ever done that. Then at number two on my top five Willie Mays moments, the 1954 season. It was arguably probably his greatest season ever. Multiple things happened in this season, and I'm going to leave one out because it's actually at number one on the list. But this season alone, he actually ended up winning the NL MVP, one of his two MVP awards. He also would win his one and only World Series of his career. But basically, to start this season, he hit a home run on opening day. He would end up actually hitting 30 home runs by the All-Star break. He would be the first at the time, he was a New York Giant, almost called said San Francisco Giant, but it was the first time in team history that any player on the team would actually end up winning the batting title, which he would end up hitting a .345 in that season alone. But it was kind of funny because leading up towards the All-Star break, like I said, he was just hitting home runs out of the park. Well, he was just smashing them so hard that eventually his manager walks up to him and is like, dude, you got to just get on base so we can actually start scoring a bit more runs, doing a little bit more here and there. And he did tamp it down just a bit, but he would end up with 41 home runs on the season. So like I said, he would bat a 345, 41 home runs on the season, 110 RBI, and then they would ultimately go on to sweep the Cleveland Indians in the World Series. And he would, of course, have one of the greatest plays ever in World Series, really in baseball history, in that season as well. But the 1954 season for Willie Mays was hands down, I mean, statistically, just an amazing season for him. Like I said, he won the MVP, he won a World Series. He pretty much just achieved every single thing you can in one season. And it's funny, too, because he would just go on and have even more great seasons after that. And would even win another MVP after that as well, many years later. But the 1954 season was definitely the year of Willie Mays. And now at number one on my top five Willie Mays moments, and there are only two words to use for it. It is called the catch. If you are a baseball fan at all, hell, even if you're not a baseball fan, you have had to have seen this catch before because it is that iconic. But it's basically game one of the World Series, the 1954 World Series against the Cleveland Indians. He would preserve a tie. And basically what would be happening here is the ball is just flying towards center field. And Willie Mays is running towards the fence backwards. And he just basically puts his glove out and it just magically lands right in his glove. And I mean, me describing it does not do it justice, but I mean, trust me, you've either seen it or you can just Google it and you will know. But it's so iconic. It's what he's always known for. And when you see guys to this day make a similar catch of that nature, we all call it the Willie Mays catch because it's the Willie Mays catch. It's what we all used to do when we would play in the backyard as kids, is you would do the Willie Mays catch. And of course, not only would this preserve a tie, but this game would go into the 10th inning, and the Giants would go on to win it in the 10th inning. So those are the top five Willie Mays moments. And like I said, there are way too many accolades that Willie Mays has that you could just literally look up and see just all the amazing things that the dude did throughout his entire career. And he was just such a superstar. He was just such a huge force. And really, pretty much anybody who grew up in that era and watched him play loved Willie Mays. Even if you weren't a Giants fan, you pretty much loved Willie Mays. And I mean, this is how much of a boss Willie Mays was. He even got a song, the Say Hey, the Willie Mays song, because if you don't know, his nickname was the Say Hey Kid. And why was his nickname the Say Hey Kid? Because when he was first coming up in the league, he couldn't remember anybody's name. So they just called him and he would just say, hey. So they're like, hey, there's the Say Hey Kid. And it just stuck with him. And it stuck with him so much that he got this song by the Treneers. I'm sorry if I butchered your name, but it's funny to hear the song. And so just in memory of Willie Mays, I'm going to leave you with some lyrics from the amazing Say Hey, the Willie Mays song. It goes a little something like this. He runs the bases like a choo-choo train. Swings around second like an aeroplane. His cap flies off when he passes third. And he heads home like an eagle bird. Say hey, say who, say Willie. Say hey, say who, swinging at the plate. Say hey, say who, say Willie. The Giants kid is great. R.I.P. Willie Mays, one of the greatest to ever do it. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.